Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Lyme Boss Podcast. I'm Heather Gray, aka the Lyme Boss. I'm a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. I know it's a mouthful, and certified bioenergetic practitioner. And today we have a really special guest, Dr. Mariah Hinchey. I fell in love with this woman when I met her last year at her conference at Lyme Bites. Never really heard much about her, but I love how once you dive deeper into this niche, especially into the Lyme world, the really awesome people that you get, that you come in contact with. And she is definitely one of the top ones in that field. I absolutely adore her and the work that she's doing. And so to have her on, and then we'll be talking more about Lyme Bites, her conference this year towards the end. But let's welcome Dr. Mariah Hinchey, everybody. Yay! Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to finally be here with you.
Took a minute for us to get the calendars and the moon to align. And speaking of moon to align, this is going to be an interesting episode because we both just discussed this morning about lack of sleep and the full moon. We're recording this on a full moon. I need to start paying attention to the moon calendar and syncing up my Calendly link. And I know that might sound woo-woo to some folks, but I mean, look what the moon does to the ocean, and we're made up of 70% water. Like there's legit statistics and facts out there of how the full moon affects people, especially those of us that have had chronic illness and stuff like Lyme disease and parasites. So it's for real. The struggle on a full moon is real.
It is for real. I'm also a Cancer, so my planet is the moon.
Water.
Yes. I get it twice as bad.
How funny. Okay, cool. Very cool. So I always love to start off with folks. Most people I know in the Lyme world aren't in this world without having some sort of a backstory. And so I don't know that I know yours. I would love to hear, like, you know, how you became a doctor and what made you decide to specialize in Lyme.
Sure. So I'll try to make a really long story a short story. But I would say, you know, I ended up specializing in Lyme disease because I'm trained as a naturopathic doctor who is always looking to find the underlying cause. So, you know, being in Connecticut and New England, not that Lyme and co-infections aren't in every single state and country and whatnot, but, you know, being here and being trying to find the underlying cause, it often led back to, you know, an undiagnosed Lyme or co-infection diagnosis that explained a lot of these atypical diagnoses that people were coming in with that just really didn't fit the situation.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, of course, yes, there is a personal story behind that, too. So I guess, you know, my real experience with Lyme disease, as far as I knew, started in clinic. So I had a very young girl in her 20s who came in diagnosed with both Lyme and babesia, and she was chronic, and she walked with a cane, and she had been on IV antibiotics for months and wasn't getting better. And so thank goodness for one of my clinic instructors, Dr. Zamperon. He knew a lot about various Chinese medicines and treating tick-borne disease, and we worked with her for about a year, and you know, she did get significantly better in the time that we worked together. So that was really my first experience with, you know, knowing that what we're taught in medical school when it comes to Lyme and tick-borne infections is really just a bunch of bullshit. So it's very uncommon that you're going to have a child playing in the tall grass and they come back with a perfect little bullseye EM rash and joint pain, right? Which is what we're all taught, you know, and then we're also taught that you go on a course of antibiotics and you're cured. And, you know, unfortunately for most people, that's just not the case.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, what's the percentage? It's like 30% of people who actually get the bullseye rash have, you know, Lyme disease. So that's a very small percentage of people who have Lyme disease. And that's how I was misdiagnosed for so many years, 27 years, because when I was bit by a tick, I never got the rash. So my mom, who was a nurse at the time, you know, that old way of thinking, well, you didn't get a rash, so you don't have Lyme disease. And it went undetected for, you know, 27 years. So don't go by the rash.
Funny story. So my friend just had classic EM rash, hot, red, swollen, 4 inches in diameter. She was in a different state. So I told her to go to a walk-in, and the doctor literally told her that it couldn't be an EM rash because she hadn't pulled a tick out of the rash site.
Oh my God.
He gave her steroids and told her it must be an infected insect bite. And then just to be safe, gave her 10 days of doxy.
Oh my God. Makes
Yeah,
my head
like,
explode. Person
yep.
here in Colorado just went to their general practitioner. Oh, the type of ticks that's needed for Lyme disease don't live in Colorado. And
Right. Yes. Okay. Sure.
Oh my gosh. When is the madness going to stop?
I don't know. So
Once you go to a doctor,
personally,
so you said root cause though. So what was your what was your dream practice? Like what did you see yourself doing? Because like I said, most people don't get into Lyme
when
right
I
off the
first
bat.
got into this, that longevity medicine.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Yep.
Very
so
cool.
hence, so, you know, my clinic is TAO, Center for Vitality, Longevity, and Optimal Health, because I was like, well, you don't want to be vital without living long, but you don't want to live long without being vital, you know? So this was where I was heading. And I just got sucked right down the Lyme disease rabbit hole, you know, right from school. But thank God, because when I ended up with all of this, had I not been doing what I was doing, I probably would have gone through the years and years of misdiagnosis, like a lot of our patients do. So thank God I knew what I was looking for, and I knew a lot of Lyme literate doctors, and I was already participating in the ILADS annual conferences. So, you know, when my symptoms came on, it was somewhat easy to recognize, even though my PCP told me that I was just hiking too many mountains and too stressed out and must be going through early menopause, even though, you know, my periods were 28 days clockwork, but, you know,
oh my
yeah,
gosh,
crazy.
Smack my head type moment. So go back to the 20-year-old. What happened to her?
So, you know, I never found out. I wish I did. And if she ever sees or hears me anywhere, like, please contact me. But no, so I graduated and she got handed down, you know, to a next year that was moving up. And I honestly don't know what happened with her.
But that was just your first. So you bring that story up because that was your first kind of intro dive into Lyme and co-infections.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So seeing that atypical presentation and the fact that not only was she on, you know, antibiotics, but months of IV antibiotics and still not getting better, and then able to see, you know, the power of some of these herbal medicines and what they were able to help her with, you know, along with, we were doing fever treatments and castor oil packs and far infrared saunas and, you know, all sorts of other things as well. But, you know, just really doing that sort of functional medicine approach.
Absolutely. And that's part of what I fell in love with you and your conference. And I hope to speak someday, but you know, when you got up and you spoke and you spent majority of the time talking about foundational stuff, right? Detox, diet, stress level. Are you pooping every day? Because so many folks I found in Lyme, especially they want to focus on treatment, and you are missing such a huge piece to the puzzle when it comes to longevity, right? Because yeah, you might be able to get you feeling a little bit better for a short period of time, but everything's going to come crashing back on you if you don't address, right, the stuff that foundational that kind of sets you up to be a good host to begin with. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I talk a lot about the patient being hospitable. And so, you know, part of the sort of detective work with this is figuring out in one particular person, like, what is making that person hospitable? What's going on in their terrain that is actually, you know, not only allowing this organism to evade the immune system, but helping it to thrive and literally devour your body in the process. So if you can figure out all of those pieces to the puzzle, then you can help the patient to become inhospitable and really help them to heal. And when the patient's healing and their body is functioning normally, and you've tackled, you know, the gut issues and the inflammatory cytokines, and you have the patient detoxing and you're rebuilding and balancing their immune system, the infection becomes a lot easier to kill, right? When you kick it out of its cozy little hiding places and break down the biofilms and really get the body functioning properly.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. I love it. Because, you know, so many people think that, oh, I just got bit by Lyme and or bit by a tick and I got Lyme, you know, like there's just this cause and effect, and it really doesn't work that way. And they don't realize that there was, you know, maybe years, even decades beforehand of, you know, a leaky gut, a bad diet, stress, toxins, these things that set themselves up, right, to be a good host. And it never ceases to amaze, because they don't also realize that we've coexisted with this bacteria for thousands of years. Like, our immune system is like, ah, I know what you are. And when in a healthy person, right, it can keep it where it belongs. But
right.
when things go out of haywire, and that's, like I said, I love almost every practitioner you had at your conference last year was saying the same thing over and over again. That's why I like every new person that got up there. And I was just like, because I feel alone quite often, you know, the one talking about stop focusing on treatment, you know. So thank you for that. Now's probably a good time. We're going to go ahead and break to commercial. And when we come back, we're going to dive a little deeper into the three most important things that you need to know about Lyme, some of her top five herbs, and we're going to dive deeper into this conference and why you should be there. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Yay. Welcome back. Awesome first half. Getting to know Dr. Mariah Hinchey a little bit better. And like I said, why I know I got a little bit of a girl crush on Dr. Hinchey. So, you know, she's just freaking awesome. And she's the doctor and doing the stuff that I've been wanting to do for years. So I just really appreciate you and what you're doing in the world, especially the Lyme world, because it's not an easy world to work in.
Thanks again for having me, Heather.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are your top three most important things that you need to know about Lyme?
Ooh, okay. Well, I think the biggest is that it's got to be a clinical diagnosis for the most part, right? So I think that so many people get hung up on testing, right? And I've had so many patients come to me and it's like, you know, I've been tested for Lyme 10 times. And it's like, wow, all of these doctors keep thinking to test you for Lyme. Like, doesn't that tell you something? You know, just because they're not, I don't even know what the right word is, just because they don't know what the right test to order is, doesn't mean that you weren't clinically screaming Lyme disease, which is why they thought enough to order that test, right? So obviously there are companies out there like Igenix being the gold standard, Vibrant, InfectoLab, multiple other labs that are credible and test for most of the species of Borrelia, not just Borrelia burgdorferi. And, you know, the various co-infections as well, but, you know, also testing and looking at different immune markers, inflammatory markers, you know, Lyme does certain things to the body, and relying on PCR or antibody tests, not everybody is always going to test positive through those tests, even if you're using a specialty lab. So really, you know, it's got to be a clinical diagnosis, and we need to use laboratory findings to support that diagnosis, not just if you're positive, and if you're negative, you're negative. And, you know, the CDC even states that on their website. I would say the second thing is that there's no amount of antibiotics, whether they are prescription or herbal, right? And I'm the big herbal queen here, but still, if you're just focusing on killing this organism, you're never going to get it out of the body. You're never going to get it into remission.
Wait. What was that? One more time for the people in the back.
What? No amount of antibiotics is ever going to completely eradicate this organism. I don't care how many, what combinations, and for how long. Maybe for some people, not for everybody. You know, the lucky ones that it does work for are the people who aren't completely hospitable and supporting the infection. You know, so again, instead of focusing on just killing this organism, and like, don't misunderstand me, we need the antibiotics, whether they're herbal or prescription or a combination of both. I'm saying antibiotics alone is not going to get rid of this infection. So brings me to my third point. So really, to heal the body from this infection, we have to decrease the inflammatory cytokine cascade. We have to balance the immune system. We don't want to rev it up too much. A lot of these patients are already in a state of autoimmunity where, you know, their immune system is acting like planes flying overhead, just dropping bombs and blowing up everything in the crossfire, right? We need to restore that balance between like the complement system and like cytotoxic. So balancing like TH1, TH2, TH17. And getting everything to work the way that it's supposed to, instead of just being stuck in one dominant phase. We have to decrease oxidative stress because there's so much free radical production from all of these biotoxins that accumulate in the body and the body's inability to detox them. You know, a lot of times that has to do with the state of the gut and the inflammation in the gut and gut permeability and not being able to, as you said earlier, detox through our routes of elimination, like pooping and peeing and sweating and breathing and, you know, all of those things. So we really have to rebuild the body back to a healthy state, you know, focus on the microbiome. How can we have a healthy functioning immune system if we are breaking down our microbiome and causing dysbiosis using long-term excessive antibiotics? We have to rebuild every cell, rebuild the mitochondria, rebuild the extracellular matrix, the collagen, all of those supportive tissues, and really reboot our nervous system, right? Because a lot of these people, and I know myself, I was stuck in fight or flight constantly. And so, you know, working, doing, God, there's so many great programs, but helping to, you know, get us out of that sympathetic dominance and back into parasympathetic.
I think that's just a badge and honor coming out of doctor school, right? Like, I don't know any practitioner that comes out of, you know, doctor school. My mom, even coming out of nursing practice school, man, it's just unhealthy. It's like the one thing they teach you during school is how to ignore your bathroom habits, your hunger habits, and your sleep habits, right? Like the three things that are needed for human health. They like try to train that out of you. It's just totally insane. And then they wonder why they have a bunch of, you know, twitched out people coming out of medical school. But yeah, DRNS, Gupta, heart math, breath work, somatic experiencing work. Like the other thing that I scream at the top of my lungs is that if you do not get your nervous system calm the F down, right? You're stuck in fight or flight, which is not rest and digest and heal, right? So that was the other thing. That was like the big piece to mine, because I, being the good functional practitioner I was when I was working on myself, I was great at taking supplements. I was great at, you know, getting my diet dialed in, but talking about feelings, like nobody talked about feelings or your nervous system back then. And so then I would relapse and then I would relapse and I would relapse. And then finally, 3 years ago, I figured out that nervous system piece and no relapse. It's been amazing. Even through this divorce, there's been no relapse. So what a blessing the nervous system work is. So that's great.
Right.
Was that,
you know, it's funny. You just made me think of something too. You know, I have a lot of patients who come in, and when we trace it back, it's like, you know, they probably have been infected for years. And it wasn't until there was a really traumatic experience, whether it be emotional or physical, that happens in their life. And then all of a sudden, like they have,
I mean, when I tell my story, it was, you know, my uncle killed himself when I was four, I was basically born full of shit. So I was constipated and then found out, you know, celiac. And then, you know, it was just this, you know, but as a 13-year-old, I could just look back and go, oh, I was bit by a tick and I got Lyme. No. I was undiagnosed celiac. I had massive, you know, ear infections while I was a kid. So multiple doses of antibiotics already, right? So leaky gut, celiac, standard American diet, early childhood trauma, antibiotics. I think my mom had already put me on the pill because she was worried about, you know, me getting pregnant. So at the pill at an early age, which also is shown to cause leaky gut. Like there were so many things that made me a very hospitable host. So when I got bit by Lyme, man, I just was like the perfect storm. Yeah. So was that number three? I lost track.
Yes, that was three.
That was three. Okay, cool. So then let's get into, because you did talk about herbs, and that was the other reason why I love you so much is because I love the herbs. I love the plants. I'm getting ready to go on a plant journey later today. So what are your top five herbs that you like working with? Because I loved how you explained anything less than five is what?
For most people, ineffective, because we need to kind of cover our bases. So I like to kind of look at, you know, those things that I threw out there. So using something to balance the immune system, my favorite is ashwagandha, because it also helps to protect the adrenal glands, which obviously when someone has been fighting a chronic illness, right, is really, really important. So to balance the immune system, ashwagandha, to deal with the inflammatory cytokine cascade, I would say Japanese knotweed and skullcap. Japanese knotweed also has a lot of anti bacterial, anti-spirochetal, antioxidant effects. It also helps to balance the immune system. Skullcap is also antibacterial and antiviral. So you get a lot of overreaching functions from these herbs. I also like cat's claw because it decreases nuclear factor kappa beta, which is basically the inflammatory cytokine that kicks off like the whole cytokine cascade. Cat's claw also has shown to increase CD57 cells or natural killer cells, which are really important dealing with Lyme. And then one of my all-time favorites, Cryptolepis. So Cryptolepis is so powerful. It's effective against gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria. It's anti-malarial, anti-babesial, anti-inflammatory. So did I say five? I think I said five. Japanese knotweed, calf's claw, cryptolepis, skullcap, and ashwagandha. Those would be my top five. And then depending on what else is going on, I mean, there's plenty more, but if I could only use five, those would probably be the five that I picked for Lyme.
I absolutely love ashwagandha. Love, 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 love it. You had mentioned a few in there that deal with like the cytokine storm and that type of stuff. So is that all that you kind of work with, like a SIRS person or a MCAS person? Because most folks I found with Lyme are uber super sensitive, right? And yeah, can't start off with a lot of the supplements, even the stuff that's meant to support, not necessarily kill.
Right.
So how do you go about dealing with those super sensitive and like MCAS type clients? Is it with these herbs or is it a combination of something else?
It's a combination. I'll give you like the real quick version. So I would say I would first start by putting them on somewhat of an anti-inflammatory diet. So whether it's autoimmune paleo, but basically no gluten, no dairy, no sugar. That's kind of like rule number one. I use very, very few blanket statements. That is my number one blanket statement. No gluten, no dairy, no sugar. Okay, then I will get them to do a food sensitivity panel. So I want to see their IgGs and their IgAs. And then, you know, obviously that takes a few weeks to come back. So we usually don't have that until around week four. But in the meantime, I will try to put them on somewhat of an anti-inflammatory diet, excluding those three things. And then I do a micronutrient panel analyzing the white blood cells so that I can see what the stored nutrient levels are inside of the cell, because that's where most of our biochemical reactions happen. So I feel like a lot of things are either we're putting things into our body that are acting as poisons, or we're missing certain things that we need to be able to run our biochemical processes to make our bodies function properly, right? And a lot of times with a Lyme patient, it's a combination of those two things. So there's a lot of deficiencies because these things act as parasites. And then there are a lot of sensitivities because our guts are screwed up and our microbiomes are screwed up. So I will do those two tests. And then I will, around week three, put the patient on the nutrients that they're deficient in. And then I will also remove the additional foods that the person is reacting to. And then at that point, I typically put them on G3M, which is a type of modified citrus pectin. And that helps to decrease galactin 3. And so galactin 3 plays a huge role in Lyme disease. It's an alarmin. So it's like that fire alarm that keeps going off and keeps recruiting immune cells to come in, which after a certain point, it's going to keep you in that sort of like chronic inflammatory state, as opposed to, you know, it comes in, it cleans everything up, it heals, and the alarm turns off. So I love this because it helps to also start to heal the tight junctions in the gut. And so I spend kind of the first, let's say, 30 to sometimes 60, depending on the patient, days focusing on trying to do as much work as you can possibly do with the gut in 30 to 60 days while someone has an active inflammatory infection, right? So there's not a ton, but I use kind of the bucket analogy where it's like, look, if all of these things are drops in the bucket and your bucket is overflowing, if we can at least stop the bucket from overflowing and drain a little bit, now we've made room for the patient to be able to tolerate the treatment, which of course is going to kick the inflammation up a little tiny bit. So I work on unplugging and draining that bucket, getting the patient detoxing, but also removing the things from the patient's life that is causing it to overflow. And then I put herbs in. So I usually start with the G3M, and then I might pick anti-inflammatory herbs that don't have a lot of killing potential. And I might start with a couple of those. And then when the patient comes back in a month, then I will get them on what I would consider to be the full protocol. And again, like, this isn't a protocol like, oh, it's these five things. It's like for that person, based off of what microbes are in their body. So what co-infections, what viruses, you know, what is there and what's going on, I will strategically pick their herbs. But again, you got to cover the bases. So something to balance the immune system, something to deal with the inflammatory cascade, usually at least two things that are antimicrobial in whatever way they need to be, and then also detoxification support. And I usually use high dose levels of EPA and DHA, and obviously vitamin D and probiotics.
Absolutely. Yeah. I said we were cut from the same cloth. I mean, almost exactly. And so it was just, that was the other brilliant part of it, is being newer in practice and being a functional coach as compared to a doctor. You know, I feel kind of out there alone in the world quite often. And then I went to this, and like I said, you guys are doing almost the, I was like, phew, I'm on the right path. So, but beautiful to learn about that citrus pectin. So in a completely different way than I had been using it in the past, and wasn't seeing the type of results, but I wasn't using it properly.
The dose matters.
That's true too.
For sure. And again, like, it's not a standalone, like this has to be used as part of, as part of an encompassing protocol.
And I remember, so it was funny, at the conference last year, you're like, I'm not a protocol person, but
I've never said that.
Here's what I would use, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you were just basically, don't get stuck on the protocols. You reiterated that a few times, of because people want to find that one size fits all. And you're very much saying, no, it doesn't work that way. You know, there's certain guidelines that you work in, but you've got to tweak them to the person, right?
Right.
Absolutely. So let's dive a little deeper into the conference. So how'd that get started?
Well, I just felt like there wasn't enough people sharing this information that is vital, you know, vital. I don't understand how every doctor in this country is not Lyme literate.
Amen. Oh my gosh, right?
I mean, it should at least be on a differential diagnosis.
And so for those of us that, for the lay people who are listening to this, what does differential diagnosis mean?
So basically, you make a list of all of the possible things that could explain the list of symptoms and or lab findings that a patient is presenting with. And then if you're a good doctor, you're going to do your due diligence, and you're going to go through, and you typically would go from the most life-threatening right down to the least, or I guess you could start with the most commonsensical, right? So for me, it always goes back to like, wow, one organism could cause all 50 of these symptoms. This person's 25 years old. Do we think they have mental illness and they have bladder issues and they have GI issues and they have cardiac issues and musculoskeletal issues? Or do you think the one thing that could potentially cause all of that, and it can come on like that almost overnight, could be what's causing it?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sorry.
No, I think it's great. How long has Lyme Bites been around?
This is only the second conference. We did the Eastern Connecticut Lyme Disease Conference back in 2018, I want to say, maybe 19. And so that's kind of like where I got started in conferences, but really like turning it into what Lyme Bites has morphed into. This is just the second year. So we have so many awesome vendors, and I could not do this without the support of the vendors. And we have, I think, 18 amazing speakers that I am so grateful to, because without the vendors and the speakers, obviously, like, this would not be happening. So absolutely. Just very fortunate to have so many people with the same goal.
Passion. Absolutely. I didn't realize I was an OG. I didn't realize that was the first annual last year that I went to. Like, how cool is that? Yeah. And every year it's just
awesome,
bigger and better, right?
Yes. And you'll be there this year.
I am hoping so. The divorce has thrown a little bit of a wrench into finances, but that's still quite a few months away. I'm sure magic can happen.
I'm sure it can.
I believe in magic. So it is November 10th and 11th this year. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Now, do they have options to be in person and virtual?
Yes, there is an option for both.
Oh, fantastic. That's excellent. And then tell me, what is the typical, what's your ideal person? Is this geared towards practitioners or lay people or clients? Like, who are you kind of targeting this towards?
Everybody is welcome. Because of the financial piece, it might be more feasible for patients to do the online version. And I think, as a practitioner myself, I always get more when I attend things in person. But everyone is welcome to do both. We are trying to make this be something that whether you know nothing about Lyme and co-infections at all, you're going to return pretty Lyme literate, after the weekend is over. Or if you are a seasoned veteran, you're going to really pick up on a lot of the pearls and the up-to-date vital information, to deal with this disease. Everything from, what's new with the latest testing to, various studies on herbs and other antibiotics and integrative treatment. How Lyme is involved in everything from PANS and PANDAS and autism to Alzheimer's and dementia to other psychiatric disorders. We're going to talk a lot about the microbiome and how that plays a role, detoxification and how important that is, how to prevent it, dispelling common myths, how to make a clinical diagnosis, obviously testing, but kind of like from one end to the other so that you're not hearing the same lecture over and over and over again, but you're just really getting the fundamentals along with the advanced.
That's amazing. And yeah, the vendors that you do get are absolutely incredible. I learned so much from all the different vendors that were there and just love the networking and the camaraderie that goes along with it too. And still keeping, I still think I'm like people deficient after, 2 years of lockdown, to where you get me out and I'm just like people, I love being around and knowing too that you're not alone and you can see the people who've got your back and are on the similar mission as you. And that counts for a lot.
It does. Yeah.
So.
And so we're going to have also, so OxyHealth is going to be there this year with hyperbaric, so people can actually get in and experience it. We have
Have you ever done that
relaxed
before?
sauna. You haven't?
No, have you? Have you done the hyperbaric before?
I have one in my
Oh,
office.
do you?
Yeah.
I couldn't do
Yes,
it.
I love it.
It felt like my eardrums were going to explode. I have problems with sinuses to begin with. And
Oh.
yeah, I wanted to
Sometimes
so
if you
bad.
use earplugs, it can help.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I might have to try that again. I might have to bring earplugs with me.
Yeah.
And sorry, who else is going to be there?
Relax sauna. So there'll be several far infrared saunas there that people can get into. I think that's it for things that people can actually demo, but there's a multitude of labs. So InfectoLab, Igenix, Vibrant will be there. And then there's a multitude of supplement companies. Nutramedics is our platinum sponsor.
And they are so generous when you're there. Like, I
They
came
are
back with
amazing.
like
Yes, they will send you
books
away with
worth of stuff. Oh my God,
bags filled with
that's
supplements.
insane.
Let's see. I want to make sure I don't leave anybody out. So, Results RNA, Designs for Health, RLT Laser, Beyond Balance, Professional Nutritionals. The Stram Center is a Lyme literate practice that's having a table. Oh, Greg Kirk is going to be there, who founded Ticked Off, which is a nonprofit organization, and he is an energy healer. He's actually doing an online talk. Of course, Lyme Core Botanicals will be there. So there's a lot of really, really great companies that are going to be there. And we still are reaching out to vendors right now. So I'm sure there'll be way more than that by the time the conference comes. But really, the goal is to connect both patients and practitioners to the most cutting edge, up-to-date information that is available, as well as these industry experts, like all of these vendors. And
You had
then
some
also to the
wonderful charities last year.
nonprofits.
Yeah, that's what I was just
Yes,
going to say. Oh my
to the
gosh, what are the
nonprofits.
coolest people that I met last year?
They were amazing. So this year's like designated charity is Partner in Lyme. So when we do the cocktail hour and the raffles and all of that, all of the proceeds will go to Partner in Lyme for their grant program. I believe Lyme Warrior is going to be there again. Like I said, the Ticked Off Foundation. We've reached out to Limelight to see if they'll come again. So, yeah.
That's incredible. So looking forward to it. And what, like I said, it's a beautiful event, and it's not like a heavy, you know, because some things with Lyme, it can get really kind of heavy and depressing, and it didn't feel that way at all. And I think that's probably the other reason why I was so in love with you and what you're doing, because I've found that in the Lyme world, it's like one or the other. It's either heavy and you have this disease and it's, or it's, no, here's some hope and here's things to focus on and here's support. And, you know, so I feel like you're definitely doing things. I remember when I first got diagnosed and walked into my first Lyme support group, and I walked out feeling like I needed to take a shower. Like I felt dirty. Yeah. And I was just like, what the hell did I just expose myself to? Like it was toxic. It was negative. It was horrible. And so what a blessing to actually bring some light and legitimate, you know, what's the word I was looking for? A little bit of Lyme brain still, lost a word. Oh, well. But I think you get the gist. Squirrel, it's gone. So, but yeah, thank you. Thank you.
No, I agree. And, you know, even when I'm sitting with a patient, the first couple of appointments, it's like, listen, you have to believe that you're going to get better. Right. Like, you know, you're going to get better, right? Like, and you, like, you have to believe that you're going to get better. And as a practitioner, you really have to have faith in your abilities and that you can help people, you know, to make a difference. So yes, I like to come at it from a very, you know, light and hopeful perspective.
Absolutely. And you did a great job of it. And I know you're going to do another great job this year. So everybody get your butts to Lyme Bites, November 10th and 11th. There'll be a link to the show notes to where you can register virtually online. There's no excuses. You don't have to go. You can sit there and learn online. But thank you everybody to Dr. Pinchy for joining us today and sharing all her beautiful wisdom. And oh my gosh, there were so many nuggets that came out of this one. If you didn't learn something from this, you weren't paying attention.
Thank you so much, Heather. Thank you everyone for listening.
Absolutely. Hey, and to the rest of y'all, have a healthy day.
I had a life, and then I had Lyme. The wave one, having seen what I've seen, and the results, and the many testimonials, it just really makes sense. The thing that I just have wanted the most is just to heal and heal with my kids and just have fun. And so for me, it just ignited this new spark, like our life is so short, our health is so precious.